This should be fun.
Family, don't end with blood.
I regret this already.
Hello. Not an idiot. See ya.
Lilu Dallas Multipass.
Give him the bits.
The bits. The bits.
The things I do for love.
I will never, ever turn my back on people who need me.
Cartoon cartoons.
This episode involves themes surrounding the struggles of youth in today's society. Have fun!
Skipperista, go to alcohol! Skipperista, go to alcohol!
And that's how we welcome you back.
Oh, welcome back.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome back.
Why should I watch that?
Why should I watch that?
Why should I watch that? Please tell me. I don't know if I should. So what are we watching this week, you guys?
We're just like jumping right into it.
Oh, well, do we want to banter?
I mean, we usually say our names at least.
Oh, yeah. I'm Myra. No, Sam jumped the gun.
I'm aware. It was just the reaction. Was
I'm
funny.
Disoriented.
Okay, so you're Myra. Who are you? We went over this in therapy. Who are you?
I'm disoriented.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
And Sam.
And Peggy. MJ, I guess. I don't know. I don't really have a cool name today either. I'm tired.
One sleepy boy.
Yeah. I was gonna say something witty and come back to that, and I don't have anything to add. I am sleepy, and that is my gender. So, like, what more are you gonna say, dude?
I'm having a Kyo drink.
You want to explain that real quick?
So there is a boba tea shop place near my house that we went to today.
Correct.
And they have anime-based drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I got Kyo from Fruits Basket, which one day I will force Sam, because I think Jay has seen it.
I was reading it when it was still coming out, so I'm right there with you.
Who understands me?
I got you.
Sam would totally... You know what you mean?
I don't think Sam's gonna like it.
Fruits Basket? I was about to say Sam totally would hate it.
But look, me currently would hate it. I would rewatch it for the nostalgia and for you, but it's no longer up my alley.
No, it's very slice of life romantic deal. All
right, but okay, introductions aside, what were you saying, Sam?
What are we watching this week?
Oh, probably something.
Definitely a thing.
The Cat Returns.
The Cat Returns.
You know, like, yeah.
What?
You know, yeah. Move on. If you don't get the meme, you don't get the meme. We don't have to steep in it.
Y'all forget that I'm like the one entity of this.
I'm just challenging you.
The one entity of this group that literally only gets memes through you guys.
I didn't forget. I just was trying to see if you knew that one.
Nope.
Then the answer was received. Do not worry. I got the no. Anyway, so yeah, we're watching The Cat Returns.
Yay!
Spicy. One of my personal favorites from the Ghibli franchise.
Ghibli. I said it right this time. Oh my gosh, I'm so bad at... I say it right when I need to, but every other time I say it so wrong and I feel awful about it. Gosh. I can only tell one truth a day, just so you'll know.
But that explains so much from earlier.
You guys are so cruel.
What?
For a second there, you were like, what the fudge are you talking about?
I knew it was wrong. I was just like, did I slip into a different reality?
Yes, you did, for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
We were trying to convince Sam that they had essentially dipped into an alternate reality and they were just stuck here now. And everything was just a little bit different.
like my dog's names, and where I lived.
Dildo and Zony.
Dildo and Zony.
I'm still proud of Zony. I made that one up on the spot.
I know, I'm very proud of that one.
The street went from its real name to fucking, I made it a running joke because I was thinking of Forest. Oh, it was Forest Drive.
I made it a Forest Gump joke. And we changed my dog types from Doodles to Dalmatians.
Yeah, and I was like, that's very wrong, too. What? I know their breeds.
But yeah, so we were sort of being mean to Sam. And then...
Only sort of.
And then we told them that, you know, we were all coming back to my house to record. And we told them that we were not coming back to our house, but going to the pastry shop.
Which...
I got in the turn lane, you motherfuckers.
As if we had a pastry shop that would dub the pastry shop. It was just a really funny turn of events. And someone fell for a hook, line, and sinker.
I was very confused at that point.
It was very funny.
It was. You're like, that was not the plan.
I was like, oh, okay. I guess we're doing that now. I didn't realize. I suppose I can turn around and... Anyways.
What a day.
So this was my first time watching The Cat Returns.
Mine too, actually.
Yeah. This was not mine.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. I thought it was an interesting movie. Mm-hmm. I watched it with Jay.
Hi.
So
that's me, I'm Jay.
I had obligations.
Yeah, you had obligations, so you couldn't be with us today, unfortunately, to watch it. So watching it was pretty interesting. It wasn't what I was expecting. Like,
that's fair.
We were watching it and I was like, this is what's gonna happen. And of course, Jay, knowing what's gonna happen, tries to make me believe that's not what's gonna happen.
That's the job of anyone who has seen any piece of media beforehand.
And he was like, no, that's not what happens, Myra.
Incorrect, madam.
What's an other possibility? And then I was like, ooh, but he could be like, ooh, okay.
Gotta say, I called the creepy cat king trying to marry.
Oh, yeah.
From the get. He shows up and he's like, hey, darling, or whatever the fuck babe. He said. Babe. And I'm like, ew. Spray with bleach, ew.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Minetta as a cat.
Yes. Oh my god, yes!
Hoi.
No, he, yeah, watching it was pretty interesting. I did not make the connection with certain little things that were happening until towards the end, obviously. Like, how Yuki ended up being the cat that she fed.
See, I saw, as soon as that bitch came on screen, I went, you... Hello. You are the only pristine white cat that exists in this film. There have been no others.
Okay, are fair.
There were a bunch in the background, actually.
Yeah.
Well, in the... My brain didn't process them.
Yeah, I noticed.
Yeah, I noticed.
I noticed when you said there were no others.
Yeah, no, I noticed the ones in the background, so I was like, oh, okay.
No, but like, I don't know. For me, dissecting media the way I do, and... It felt only fitting that the cat she saved when she was younger would come back to be relevant to the plot later.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I
can't say you're wrong on that. But that, I mean, those were the only little things that I personally didn't make a note to. I definitely had this, could tell that it was a different art style, which was also interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the movie. I would probably give... I would say I personally want to rewatch it just to see if I missed anything. But I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. I feel like I'm not the target age demographic for this film. I feel like I missed... an unspoken element watching this film as an adult. But it was cute. It was fun. It was whimsical. And I loved the little references to the other Studio Ghibli films.
And Disney at that time. And Disney. Because that time they had their contract with Disney. But no, yeah, I would agree with you on that whole not being the target audience, though. Mm-hmm. It did you're right, it's not a...
I feel like I missed some unspoken element of impact.
Yes. But I still enjoyed it. That's something...
For sure.
That I'm like, I'm not gonna be like... that's why I still wanna rewatch it to see if maybe I missed it, because I also was watching it to watch it for the podcast, not mm-hmm. just watch it to enjoy it.
And that's fair. Because
sometimes when you watch something... And we've,
with a purpose.
With a purpose.
Yeah, critically.
It's not as impactful as it is when you watch it for enjoyment.
Yeah.
And that's totally valid.
I remember when I first watched it in, like, high school, it was something that I held really close to me. Mm-hmm. So, it honestly, you guys could totally be right. It could be, definitely be a age issue.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that we're older, mm-hmm. you know. 2 seconds.
One, two. That's it. All you're allowed.
I'm sorry, those weren't Mississippi seconds.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi.
High school student Haru rescues a cat that was about to be run over by a truck and discovers the cat is actually a prince named Loon. Out of gratitude, Loon's father, the Cat King, asks her to marry Loon. Haru is brought to the Cat Kingdom, where she starts to develop feline features. When she is prevented from leaving, the Baron and Toto, two statues that have magically been given life, provide assistance in gaining her freedom. See? Mississippi's.
But technically that would be at best three Mississippi's.
No, I was waiting for you to start the Mississippi's.
Mm. Anyways. So this was actually not directed by Miyazaki. Which we found out today. It was actually directed by Hiroyuki Morita? Moria?
Say it with a question mark when it's not zoomed in. If you ain't gonna zoom, it's gotta be with confidence.
Morita.
Hiroyuki Morita.
Morita. There we go. I was like, I'm pronouncing it with like a Spanish emphasis and not...
Yeah, it was like, fun fact, there are more than two languages.
I understand this. I've never studied Japanese and I am learning.
I know, it's just funny that you said Spanish.
Well...
No, she did say it with a like Hispanic, like trying to say it in Spanish accent.
But yeah, they did.
The writer was... Reiko Yoshida? Yoshida?
Reiko
Yoshida.
Reiko.
Now you sound like you're saying Draco.
Draco Malfoy!
You sound like some, like, hardened Scottish person.
I would have said trying Russian. Trying to get
Draco Malfoy's attention. Draco! I need you to cast off your black mark. Draco! Now is not the time.
Yep.
Reco.
You're gonna make them choke.
So sorry. 911, I'd like to report a murder,
but not for me.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
Murdered them.
I did. I witnessed it. We're even for the ice skating thing. I'll never bring it up again.
Okay.
Unless you do it again. If it's for the podcast. I'm not leaving you
dying in post.
No, but if it's funny.
If it's funny, we'll consider it.
Patreon episode.
Oh my god. Sam this is what dies. Our Patreon episode is gonna consist of. We don't deserve a Patreon.
We don't.
We don't. Not for that.
I can promote us in Mexico in June.
You could.
How do we recover from this?
It was based on the manga, The Cat Returns. And you can kind of get that sense of it as you watch the movie.
Runtime.
It's pretty short, actually. It's only 75 minutes.
That's not bad.
And the box office didn't do nearly as well. So it cost $20 million American dollars to produce. And it only made back $54 million. They don't have the Japanese box office. Yeah, that's it. That's all the relevant information. Based on the author of The Cat Returns is it's all vowels.
Oh, interesting. I see. And what would their co-author's name be? And what would their... Hold on. I need to say it back into the mic. And what would their co-author's name be? Okay. Okay.
Aoi?
Aoi?
One more time.
A-O-E. Aoi?
Aoi?
You know what yaoi is?
Aoi.
Drop the Y.
Aoi.
Aoi?
Owie? What do you say when you stub your toe as Owie. A 5-year-old? Fuck! As a 5-year-old, I even added that on.
Ouch.
Owie.
Owie.
Everybody, we caught ourselves a wild... Where are you from?
New Jersey.
One of them.
New Jerseyan.
A northerner.
A wild northerner! You must have time shifted again, dude. We've always talked like this. This is the Redneck Ramble. Or we ramble about stuff the rednecks probably shouldn't watch.
I can't handle this.
Fuck, my brain went.
No, don't. Stop right now.
Everything's
they
fine.
Are trying to purposely kill themselves now.
Now it's suicide.
Anyways, if you want more information, you can always just look up the Wikipedia. Maybe we'll link it.
We won't.
We super fucking won't.
What was gonna... talking about little tidbits, Sam said one. The fact that the statue of the Baron is in Whispers of the Heart.
He's a whole ass character too, the same way he's more like a daydream fantasy in Whispers of the Heart, but yeah. Just stop and stare at me?
I've never seen Whispers of the Heart, so it's cute. I'll believe you.
It's cute.
Definitely we have... Ooh, what's the cat's name?
Baron?
No.
Maui?
No.
Muta?
No.
I'm out of cats. I don't know what you want from me.
Yuki,
she's cute.
Oh, the white cat. Of course it's fucking Yuki. Yuki means snow.
Yuki.
It's literally the Japanese equivalent of naming your cat Snowball.
I'm sorry. That came out loud, and it was supposed to say in my brain.
Let me finish.
I'm sorry.
Yuki can sort of be a reference to Marie from Aristocrats. Because at the time... Ghibli, the production company, had a contract with Disney to distribute their films in the U.S. Or North America. So,
It could definitely be a reference.
I'm not saying it is 100% yes, this is a reference, but it could be a reference. And definitely, when they're playing the accordion...
Oh, yeah.
It sounds very Howl's Moving Castle.
Yes. Mm. I will say that.
Those are my fun little facts.
And, you know, there's also a cat band in the Aristocats as well.
Yes, there is. And cats from different countries, except they're not... They're not. Cats from different...
Just only cats.
Oh, whatever.
Except for the Siamese one. That one was racist.
That one was racist.
Yeah.
All right, so aside from all of that, you guys already did first impressions, right?
Yep.
So self-esteem and self-perception are obviously a major theme. And your destiny and your active decisions within your destiny, societal pressures, and whether being kind, the worth of kindness, and charitable actions.
In the words of Wicked, no good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah.
Not to get musical theater on you, but...
So we're talking about those themes and those characters. How they relate. So our main character struggles deeply with self-esteem issues.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Haru.
Oh, yeah.
I keep wanting to call her Haruhi. I don't know why. Probably because the names are similar, but... Don't.
Welcome to the judgment zone.
Yep.
Where we're judging you.
I didn't come here for this.
Judgment zone. You didn't, but you're here. It's the judgment zone. You're being judged.
Anyways.
I still love you.
I'm not so sure. I'm not feeling the love.
Well, no, of course not. You're in the judgment zone. There's no love here. Only judgment. You tried to kill me. And then you tried... I'm not even going to say anything.
I'm just going they with, literally we took still a sip. Love you.
They actively tried to antagonize me and then immediately took a sip of liquid as if that wasn't the way they almost died the first time. And in my defense, it was the fifth time I had made that joke in a row. I just assumed the hilarity of it had passed. This is not my fault. Also, if you want to keep bringing that up, I said we were even after the ice skating thing. You want to keep bringing it up?
Keep bringing it up. It's just finishing.
No.
Anyways.
No. History is history. We were born to make it, and it's made. I don't know. I think it might be the nostalgia talking, but I like really bonded with Haru as a main character. Back in the day, rewatching it, not so much. I don't know if that means that I've like moved past the troubles of my youth or that I've just let them consume me to the point where I don't feel them anymore. But you know, whichever answer it may be, it definitely didn't feel the same as the first time I watched it, but it still was relatable enough that like, I really like that throughout the entire movie, she's kind of her own hero in her own way. Sure. The Baron is there to, like, kind of do certain things that a high school student might not be able to. But for the majority of the part, it's her job to not forget who she is,
mm-hmm.
hold on to herself, and be... Just make sure she doesn't lose herself. Be herself in this land that is trying to force her to be everything that is not herself. And it's really easy... to kind of fall into that kind of mindset when you're not, when things aren't going great in your, like, personal life. Like, well, fine. Who needs the old me? It obviously wasn't working out for them. She even says something to that effect.
Yeah.
It's really interesting that she kind of pulls her, like, she is her own hero to the main part of the story outside of the cats.
Yeah.
She's the catalyst in her own life because of what the Baron taught her.
Yeah, because she has
that's
this... really
cool. That's like Steven Universe.
Yeah. She has this whole little existential crisis mm-hmm. in the what is it? The Cat Bureau.
Mm-hmm. Not even the Cat Bureau. She starts
the whole thing.
Well, yeah, throughout the whole thing, but like she actually starts getting solid advice when she gets to the Cat Bureau, and they're all like, "Hey, like small child, it's gonna be okay, like, just have some tea, we'll have a conversation, it'll be good."
Also, she totally stole the Baron's shtick, and I love her for it.
Oh, yes.
It's like, it's kind of cheesy, but at the same time, it's like, kind of fun.
Yes.
Like, it's, oh, she went there, she did it.
Yeah.
And, like, you're kind of borrowing parts of your, you know, personality, not from other people, but at least it's fun.
I wasn't too mad about that because she looked up to Baron,
mm-hmm.
but she also had a crush on him. And I like that she took parts of a person that she admired and put that into herself.
Yeah.
It felt like a good growth part. Element.
I didn't mean what I said in a shots kind of way. If you think about it, we are all an amalgamation of people who either impressed us or made an impact on us. Mm-hmm. That we then said, I like that part of your personality. I'll be taking it now. Until we made a whole new person with different jigsaws from other people's jigsaw puzzle that they also stole. So really, who knows who they truly are?
That's true. Well, you know, my one thing is,
What did you just say? I started saying being perceived is a nightmare. Okay. But then I got really, like, you said
being.
Go ahead, Myra.
I was going to say, she gave me these very much Usagi before Sailor Moon vibes at the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gave me, at the end of the movie, I was like, yeah... You're no longer Usagi. You've grown up. I'm so proud of you. You're now, like, your own self.
Yeah.
You know? And if you don't know who Usagi is, it's Sailor Moon. That's her non-Sailor name, I guess.
Her
true secret identity.
Secret identity.
Yeah. But I really liked her as a character because I felt... Honestly, the whole movie felt sort of like a one-note kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
All the characters were very one-note, except for her.
Yeah.
Haru had this whole feel of actually growth and development and understanding of a character. Well, that's... I wish I would have seen that with the other characters, but I'm glad they put it mostly with her.
Mm.
Because it felt like you were following her story. You weren't being told all this stuff to stuff it down your throat.
Yeah. Plus, if you think about it, I guess the way they kind of format her entire narrative, it's not really done in a way where it's supposed to be like, and then these characters continued living out their normal everyday lives. No, the second she, like, leaves, they just kind of go back to being cats. Like, granted, we do see Muta at the end, but, like, we see him having a catnap the way that she initially met him. It almost feels like everything that happened in the cat kingdom and leading up to it was, like, a mild psychotic break.
Mm-hmm. You know what? That's very fair.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, not like, in a bad way. She obviously came out on the other end of it. But, like, I don't know. For me, that's kind of how I took it when no one else got development. I was like, okay, so it's almost like they didn't even exist.
Like a fever dream?
Yeah, like a fever dream. And, you know, actually...
Ooh.
Oh! She did wake up the first day after everything with a bit of a sniffle. So maybe she went and had some sniffles and went downstairs and, like, passed out. And was just sick for the rest of the movie.
I thought that was the allergies for to the cattails.
What if they never happened is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, literally, she goes outside because she hears a weird noise, catches a cold, wakes up with a fever. Her mom tells her, go back to bed. And the rest of the
movie happens.
Movie literally happens as a fever dream.
Okay. I see what you mean.
It's a bit of a crackpot theory, but it's a fun one.
It is.
And there's actual contextual evidence for it.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, for me, that kind of explained away why we had such, like, whimsical, I guess, kind of development. And maybe there's more in the manga. We unfortunately didn't get a chance to read it.
No.
I tried, and you can only buy it. And I looked too late.
Whoops.
To order it online. So, here we are. Ooh.
For those who can't see, Jay's playing chess on his phone, and he got real excited about a move. Someone fucked up real bad.
Ooh.
There it is.
It wasn't me.
It was not you. Nope. They forced their queen into blocking check, which means I could take it. And then they didn't move their rook right after, so I took it too.
Oh, damn. Oof.
Anyways, that would explain why all the other characters were very one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm. You can only make up so much continuity in a fever dream.
Yeah, fever, they're weird.
Yeah.
But, like, moving away from her, I really, really like the personification of the Baron.
Oh, that was a awesome. Very cool
yes.
character.
He is such a good mentor figure for Haru.
Mm-hmm.
Because a good mentor doesn't give you the answers. They lead you to the right answers. And mm-hmm. he says exactly what Haru needs to hear to get her to where she needs to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No matter what those words are, he always says them.
Yeah. And he always comes back for her to make sure that she's okay. Like,
yeah. Like, he doesn't just, like, leave her out.
He doesn't,
in the wind.
Yeah, he doesn't Gandalf that shit. He's like, ah, I'm going to say something mysterious and then disappear for 5 months.
Yeah, that motherfucker.
Whoosh. Whoosh. A wizard did it. He did it.
Oh, God.
No.
He also, look, I'm not a furry, but no cat has a right
he
to have that
swagger.
Much swag.
Swag!
He has this swag that you're like, wait a minute.
Redefine furry for me? Like,
yes.
Is that, this was not a part of the daily planner, but we arrived somewhere that wasn't on the train. One of the cosplayers I follow on TikTok recently did the Baron from The Cat Returns. And I was like, this person has so much, like, swagger? Hello? Hello? And I was like, oh, maybe I'll look into it. He did a really good job with the cosplay, and it looks really amazing. And it's a cat.
I'm a cat. Classy, bougie, yeah.
I mean,
acting stupid, yeah.
Yeah,
I really liked him. I don't have much else to say on him.
He for all his good mentoring skills, he's again kind of one dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's I think the only gripe I have with that, because I would have liked to see a little more depth to him.
Yeah.
I mean obviously we did get good development for
Muta.
I was about to call Muta.
Are you calling me a fat cow?
You would not be incorrect.
Muta.
I mean, I like that the whole time he was like this mystery that you're like, but who are you to all the other cats? And everybody's like, I feel like we should know who he is.
Like, I've definitely seen his face somewhere.
And you're like, who's this fucking cat? He has a small amount of character development, because all of a sudden you find out he's this serial killer of fish.
Yeah, he basically steals the entire kingdom's
fish
supply for a year, I guess. I don't know. He says he eats them all out of the lake.
He basically caused a famine.
Yeah,
from what I gathered.
Yeah, so he pretty much cost everybody food. And I like the fact that you got that little bit of detail, and it also it gives him this whole new personality of, see, this is why I'm big. Like, I'm proud of it. I don't give two shits what you think.
And like, you almost get the sense that he could have been part of the King's Guard before that, because all the rest of the... Well, no, I say that because if you look at how the King's Guard are drawn...
Yeah, okay.
Versus
okay.
How Muta is drawn...
His build is that of someone who would be large, but it's also kind of boof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One chonky boy.
He got a little, he got swole.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I would agree with you.
And he also had, like, they're also, like, white-toned, brown-toned. And he's not totally white. He has that little, like,
he has hints of brown in his, yeah.
So maybe he was part of the King's Guard. Who knows?
Maybe. But
I do feel bad that we didn't get a lot of the crow. He basically was just put there to make sure that they could get home.
Yeah.
He was pretty much put there as, they have a safety net.
Yeah. Put a lot of armor. What are they going to do when they fall out of the chimney? Oh, I don't know. What if the crow saves them?
Oh. Oh, yeah. The crow. I forgot he was here.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally what it felt like.
It's very fair. And, like, at first it's like, ooh, I forgot he was here. Like, spicy. And then, like, you know, the more it settles in, it's like, oh, no. He really didn't know anything else, though, did he?
He got Baron... Yeah, that's one thing. I was like, why didn't he come with Baron to the land of
Yeah,
rats?
That's what I was going to say. Like, he could have been there.
I did have a theory.
Okay.
Maybe the only people who can enter the land of cats are cats or their guests.
Oh, because that one guy who had the dogs.
So why wouldn't Baron be able to bring Toto as a guest?
Because he's not from a cat. The land of cats, and he's also definitely not a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, however, that would instead raise the question, why can't the Baron turn into a cat while there?
Mm.
So I think the reason Haru started turning into a cat was because of the fish necklace.
No, it was a spell, because she wasn't wearing the necklace for the majority of the...
So the way that the scene was framed made me conclude this, and...
Go ahead.
She's a human.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
As she's getting dressed, and they lock the necklace onto her. And then we don't see her face until they turn her back to the mirror. And he's like, "Oh, you're already half cat." And she's like, "What?" And then we see her face for the first time. And I think it's one of those like cursed object scenarios where like,
oh.
Once you put it on, the spell's on you, but even if you take it off, the spell's still affecting you.
Yeah.
See, what I got was the king put the spell on him. The king put the spell on her.
Mm. I can see that. I can see both scenarios, actually.
Yeah.
Like, very easily. Like, I wouldn't say either one is wrong.
They're both totally feasible. Because, like, the necklace... when they put the necklace on, there wasn't like a typical Ghibli flourish.
Yes.
That's fair. That's fair to say. But there also wasn't a lot of typical Ghibli animation.
Yes, there was.
I mean, like, I don't know.
It wasn't a typical Ghibli plot line for damn sure. But, I mean, they didn't have any old lady characters to have, you know, old lady features. And they, that's really the main one, actually.
Actually, the only one I know, the tears.
Okay.
When she's crying, it's not the big blob tears. But okay. I think that's more of a Miyazaki than a Ghibli.
That's fair.
But you still had this intricate background. Even though it wasn't as in-depth. Now, it wasn't as detailed, but you still had an intricate background.
I'll give you that. I would have liked to see more of this level of detail that I've come to know from Miyazaki.
Mm-hmm.
But again...
Especially from the backlash of Howl's Moving Castle, where, like, everything was so gorgeously detailed.
But again, did this come out right after Howl?
No. I'm saying after watching Howl's Moving Castle so recently...
Mm-hmm.
Having all of that gorgeous detail there.
Mm-hmm.
This came out before Howl's Moving Castle.
But
what I was going to say is we keep forgetting this wasn't directed by Miyazaki. It was produced by Ghibli.
Mm-hmm.
So it does not mean they're not going to put the same amount of detail that Miyazaki would put into a piece of art it's not the same. We can't judge the art style fully of going, I wish it would have had this Howl Moving Castle when it's Ghibli, it's not Miyazaki. At this point, we're comparing Ghibli to Miyazaki. Yes, they're the same production company, but different directors.
I wasn't... But see, what... Okay, no, let me... This is quick, I promise. I guess what I was trying to say was, what if the reason he didn't direct it is because he was pouring his energy into Howl's? That would explain a lot. That would explain why it doesn't have quite nearly as many moving parts, why it's much more heavily based on a manga. It would explain why Miyazaki didn't have a big hand in it.
Something I did like, though, that is consistent throughout a lot of Miyazaki's films is Ghibli films, is the hair at the end of the film.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we didn't get to talk about this with Hal, but in all of the Studio Ghibli films I've seen so far, once the heroine starts taking on her, like, I want to say final form, but, like, that sounds a little cheesy. But, like, the character growth she's meant to undergo for the film, she gets a haircut, or, like, her hair, you know,
changes in some sort of shape or form.
Because, like, in Castle in the Sky, and I haven't seen all of them.
No, I'm trying to think.
In Castle in the Sky, her pigtails get cut off, and she takes on a much more mature, or not cut off, shot off. Actually, it's a lot more violent than that.
You know, we didn't talk about this specifically last week, but we did mention how the hair symbolizes magic.
Mm. Yes.
And it's interesting because at the very end, I think that's the first, for Howl's, I think that's the first time we actually see her hair do the thing with the magic, is after it's been cut when she's with Howl.
And her hair stayed grayed. And then with her, you're right, it shows this level of maturity that she's had. I don't know if it's every Ghibli film.
The ones I've seen.
Because I'm actually thinking about the two that we're doing the next couple of weeks.
Sure. I don't know.
And both of them, they don't get a haircut at the end.
It's been so long since I've seen our closing month one that I don't remember. And I don't think I've seen the other one, so.
You've never seen the other one? Sam, you told me you've seen it. I'm a little...
Wait. Hold on. We're doing...
Cut this part. I forgot my thought.
Griefman.
Yep, I'm back.
Ooh. You good, fam? Ooh. You didn't have dairy, did you?
No. Ooh. I'm dying. Sam, I took over your role.
Okay, good. I don't want it.
No. Things we disliked and liked about the movie.
One thing I did like about Haru's character design is, like, when I first saw her, she's, you know, a little scruffy, a little disheveled. But I wouldn't call her, like, classically beautiful either. But throughout the film, she still gets called, like, beautiful and, like, gorgeous and charming and, like, all these other wonderful compliments. And I like that they did that. Because, like, I don't know.
Everyone is beautiful in their own right, unless you're a shitty person like Mineta.
I get it. That is something that I've noticed with Ghibli films. Mm. That throughout all their films, at least the ones that I have seen, no one is ever shut down for the way they look.
Unless they're a rude-ass bitch, and then... And they just get unless to film.
They're like a demon monster that we see, like, in
Spirit. But even then, no face in Spirited Away is still, like, greeted with a banquet. So, like...
No, that's true. Like, everybody, like, is treated... Even the pigs in Spirited Away. They're, like... So, yeah, I feel like that's something unique to Ghibli films.
Yeah, or even, like, the like, ugly witches are still treated with this gross amount of respect and awe.
A lot of them are still considered shown respect, and a lot of them are still being praised and saying you're still beautiful for who you are. Except for Baba.
Yeah, well, she's
Baba.
Okay, when they're not, when a witch or a person who is not classically pretty is featured and is bad, it's because of their actions and has nothing to do with their looks.
Their looks, which is really nice. And I think we also saw that with Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah.
With the Witch of the Waste.
Mm-hmm.
Because she...
I would soft agree.
Because even though she praises herself for her beauty, but even after she turns ugly, she still has a sense of beauty that she didn't have when she was beautiful.
Sure. Yeah. She goes from being a very young standard of beauty to a very real representation of what happens when you age, but she still has makeup on.
Yeah.
She still has a smile on her face. And even though they give her all of these, like, aged wrinkles and stuff, she's not hideous or horrifying. She just looks old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's something that I do enjoy from the Ghibli films.
Yeah, because so often you get these equations of
what
age equals ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Not just age. You also get this equation of this is what real beauty is supposed to be like.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it's, you know, this Eurocentric, pale... And we're starting to move away from that, but like... Unless honestly, you're, like, me, real thin and, you know...
That's what I was going to say. Honestly, for me, I think what I've noticed more in beauty is not so much Eurocentric, but size-wise.
Well, so, like, we don't see a lot of wider noses in, like... Well, we're starting to move away from it, but for a very, very long time, people wanted, you know, thinner based.
Can I try?
Sure. I'm not wording it correctly.
Yeah. Eurocentric means that because of the popularity of people who are whiter, they become the standard.
Okay.
That's how you get cultures like, I think it's the Philippines, where skin bleaching is a active thing that they do to become more pale. Because they see it as the standard, and if you don't hit the standard, you're not actually pretty.
Okay, I see what you mean. Thank you. So then, yes, Eurocentric. But I guess to me, I've always seen people consider beauty this thing that you slap on some makeup. And this is where I would say I would compare Haru to her friend. Because her friend looks like what your normal standard of beauty would be. Because she has the makeup. She has the pretty clothes. She has the
cute haircut.
The cute haircut. And she doesn't look like she just rolled out of bed. Mm-hmm. But yet, everybody still continues to say that Haru is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And has this beauty to her that nobody else see. And I think I really enjoy that is... Excuse me. The direction that they went with.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right on when you said earlier that they have this, particularly the Ghibli Productions, have this concept of trying to show feminine hero or heroines in a different light. And this is showing that this is a perfect example of that, because you have the girl that's your everyday girl. She just rolled out of bed, not an ounce of makeup, totally forgot to iron her uniform, is running late, all she did is put her hair up in a ponytail.
She barely did that
and is like, okay, need to go, bye. And is still seen not for her outer beauty, but for her inner beauty. Because the entire time that she is growing in development, she does something that offends someone and very rapidly realizes she offended someone. And it's like, please forgive me. Let me help you. Let me do this. Let me repair the damage I have done.
I love that consistently throughout the Ghibli films that I've seen. The person that they are going to be at the end of the film is very clearly there at the start of the film. They just have to get out of their own mental blocks and mental blocks to get there.
And that's on good writing.
I guess this is, I mentioned it last month during all the anime stuff, the woman's touch kind of problem. This is a really interesting take on it, where it's not a problem, it's actually an attribute.
Mm-hmm.
Could they have more action? Yes, but that doesn't always have to drive the plot if you have enough of a struggle for the main character to fight against. I guess that's why I always default to fighting, because it's a very obvious, you know...
Sure.
It's a very obvious catalyst for, you know, issue. But it's a testament to their writing skills as a team, I guess. They can consistently pull off these, like, amazing storylines with the same formula, and it never feels old.
No, and, like, as the film is climaxing, it's Haru who figures out that the walls are moving.
Mm-hmm.
And they give her enough agency and intelligence that it feels natural for her to be like, wait, this is...
Sus.
And the Baron's like, let's push it!
Why don't we take the walls and push them somewhere else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just take Bikini Bottom
and push it somewhere else.
I'm sorry I had to.
No, you're good.
I was like,
it was a legal requirement.
We might be able to get through this without making the actual joke. Nope.
No. God, no.
No.
Who am I?
What are you even saying? The man wearing SpongeBob pants.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, literal SpongeBob pants. Oh, shit. I had a thought. It's gone.
Okay.
D&D characters. That was my thought. Okay. I think we're going to start with the king. Because I want to save Haru for last.
Okay. That's fair.
King. Honestly.
Could he just be an NPC royal?
I was thinking he was a
fighter.
I mean, it's a kingdom of Tabaxis. Fine.
Yes. It's a Tabaxi. But I was going to say he seemed... Because of the whole thinking that he maybe was the one that put the spell on her,
mm-hmm.
maybe like a wizard or sorcerer.
Okay. He did fail horrendously at that sword fight, so.
Yeah.
It was one slice, and he lost all of his fur.
All of his fur.
So, I would say I...
And his little eye
Would you
thing.
Say wizard or sorcerer?
I feel like a king wouldn't be a sorcerer.
Fine. Yeah,
I feel like a king would be a book smart, and that feels very wizard.
That king was not book smart.
That king was book smart. He technically did everything by the book. He just has no people skills, is kind of a predator, and also is just a bad person.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, low wisdom, low charisma.
Wizard. Okay.
Wizard. Focus on the wheeze.
So gross.
Yeah, well.
I would say maybe next would be
Tojo doesn't get Toto, enough screen
yeah,
time.
Screen time to say
he's just an Aarakocra with an attitude.
Yeah.
Next.
Maybe I would venture to say a rogue, because he gets the Thieves Guild of Rogues to just
squat up and make a staircase
to the school.
I'm on a staircase to school. Wow. Staircase. I'm done.
I guess we could say rogue. I don't.
The only reason I said that is
I feel like Thieves Guild. Yeah, I'm just gonna give it to you on my end because I don't know what else he would be. We don't see him. He's just sassy.
I agree.
Sassy bird.
You don't see him enough on screen to be like, yeah,
sassy bird.
Okay. Just like Fry. Sorry.
You don't say.
See, this is why I'm like, the only other two characters, maybe three, that we would give it, I say Yuki.
What would Yuki be? She doesn't.
She gives off NPC. Well, no, she does send message.
Yes. That's why I'm like,
Sus.
Although Prince Loon and his freaking little lapels.
Oh, he's so cute.
He's adorable.
I love Prince Loon. Shows up. Absolutely.
He's our NPC, okay?
No, he's not an NPC. He's a fighter.
He's a fighter.
That boy walked across a road and went, oh, what's that metal thing? I can take it.
Not just that. His dad goes, well, do you want to marry me? And he goes, whoa.
Whoa. Bad vibe.
Whoa, bad vibes.
He goes, attack.
Yeah, he's a general. He's definitely a fighter.
Yeah, okay. Prince Loon's a fighter.
Okay.
Yuki, I would say, feels like a...
I want to say sorcerer.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. I don't know what else she'd be, so...
What's her name again?
Yuki.
My brain immediately deleted it. Don't know why. You said it, and I was like, Yuki! And then I wanted to go write it down, and I was like,
Moto. Ooh, I said
Muta.
His... Muta. I don't know why I thought his name was Moto.
We have been fucking up this dude's name all night.
Look out. I think Moto likes you.
I look big. I look big.
He fits, though. That's the issue. He is both big and chunk.
Muta.
Muta.
Muta rides.
Okay. So, barbarian.
Yeah, done. Barbarian.
I'm sorry. That boy's a barbarian.
Could have been the main character of his own show.
Yeah.
Easily.
I would have liked... Honestly, I would have really liked The Cat Returns as, like, a fun little Steven Universe-esque kind of show. I feel like it would have worked better.
Maybe.
Like, centered around the three... Toto, the Baron, and...
Haru? Or Toto? Moto?
Toto Moto. I don't remember how the thing goes.
I think that's why I keep getting confused. I'm trying to change their names. The Baron.
Yeah, Baron. I said the Baron and Muta.
Yeah, and I keep wanting to say Toto, and I call him Moto and Toto.
Mojo Jojo.
Mojo Jojo. Okay. The Baron.
Yeah, I think
Ranger.
Well,
you said Baron?
Baron? A Ranger?
No.
That doesn't fit his vibe.
He's too classy.
He's too dexy.
Rangers are dexy.
No, like close combat dexy.
Rogue then?
Maybe.
I wouldn't call him a monk.
Oh God, no! I'm not on Team Monk. Do not worry your little brain.
I would not say fighter.
Oh, I fucked up. No, he's. Well, now hold on, back up. Why wouldn't you say monk?
He's too stiff for monk.
Yeah.
Is he? Because he moves fluid in combat.
But so does a ranger.
No, like, he goes to...
You do know rangers can be close combat,
too.
No,
I don't! I've never played one!
Rangers can... They have an option. It's just most people choose to go with bow and arrow because yes. They're basic.
Yeah, well.
But rangers can do close combat, and they're actually very dexy. They're just as dexy as a rogue.
Just hear me out, okay?
Okay, what? Say your words.
I don't know. Ranger implies, like, hunter's mark and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It does. It implies that he has some semblance of that. It also implies that he would have some kind of proclivity with a long-range weapon at any point.
Not necessarily.
At least a little bit.
Not necessarily. Because, so when you...
It's in the name.
Just because it's range doesn't mean shit.
It means everything! everything.
No, because you can pick your fighting style.
And you can be close combat or you can be long distance.
You can choose archery. You can choose two double wielding. Or something else. I don't remember.
Yeah. I usually pick archery because I buff up my familiar.
Y'all are agreeing. So no, stop. No. Every time no? we get to this point, I'm folding. I don't care. I don't care. You care so much more than me in this moment. I'm folding.
No,
I
don't.
It's okay. I'm not on the team, but if you guys are on the team, I'm outvoted. It's done. You may continue if you'd like.
I'm not sure Sam is on the team, but I'm just, this is why I'm saying Ranger.
Okay. I'm out.
I feel Ranger fits better because
it was the game.
No, it was not. Oh, it was a text message. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like he's a ranger who casts Long Strider on himself at the start of every day.
That, and I felt like when they were going through the mace, he was maneuvering that very well.
And that's survival.
Mm-hmm. And he's fluid? Yes.
Mm. Okay.
So that's why I would say ranger.
I would vibe with ranger.
That's fine. I'm right.
Haru.
I don't even know, man.
Damn. I don't know either.
She doesn't really do anything.
Exactly. Sad NPC. I wouldn't say she...
What skills does she demonstrate throughout the film?
Lacrosse.
Yes.
Bitch plays lacrosse.
And did you see and that catch? She dodged that car.
She's Dexy.
We got another Dexy bitch. You know what? Rogue? I would vibe with Rogue because literally the Baron is like, hello, I have arrived. And she goes, cool, bonus action, hide. What are we doing?
Literally. She's like, you've got the plan, right?
And he's like, yeah, get out of that dress. And she's like, done, already done. Where am I going? What are we doing?
Escape?
And he's okay. Like, oh, you are ready.
All right, then.
So Rogue?
Yeah, I definitely vibe with Rogue. Rogue who's also pretty strong?
I mean, that happens.
Yeah. I feel like she put points into strength instead of into wisdom. And then this little adventure, she was like, maybe I should stop having a negative wisdom.
Yeah.
At the very end, like right before the cutscene to like the aftermath of the movie, she leveled up and put all of her points into wisdom. Like, I learned, I'm sorry, the cat taught me that I need to be wizzy. I got this, guys.
My bad.
Sorry. I didn't realize how much I was fucking myself. We're moving on.
Do-to-do.
Ba-bum. Would that make her half tabaxi?
Okay, so hear me.
Ooh. I'm just, I don't
what
know.
What would half tabaxi stats look like?
Just a cat girl.
Ew, no, put it back. Don't bring that shit in here. No,
we're not going furry again. Stop.
It's not furry. Okay, it's much less furry than a whole ass tabaxi.
Okay,
I'm still getting whiplash from Andrew's campaign.
We don't have to talk about that. Please don't talk about that. We're on a podcast. Anyway, hi guys, don't ask. Maybe we'll do it. Maybe we'll do a special if you ask, but you're going to have to ask pretty loud.
Loud and very nice.
But I forgot about that. Uh-huh.
It was not good. Anyway.
Don't. Please. I don't want to have to mark this right here explicit.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay. All right. So, no, I was going to move on.
Yeah. Y'all just kept circling the drain, threatening to fall down. And I was like, guys.
So, we got our thing.
Do we have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts.
Like, before we run into ranking?
I like the, I guess, again, like, the only thing I said, like, I disliked is that all the characters except for Haru are one note.
Yeah, very one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just have a thought, if you weren't.
Yeah, no.
Okay. We talked about this beforehand, but I really liked how, even when the animation gets rough, there's no, inappropriate shots of Oh, hard. The skirt. Her skirt is always covering her in a very appropriate way.
Yeah.
And again, that's, you know, Studio Ghibli's dedication to providing
that
nice, good, nice heroines that don't have to be hypersexualized to be a heroine.
Surprisingly, despite being written by a male, it's not written for the male gaze, which is apparently weird. Okay, I have two things.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to say this in Ushiny. If you watch very closely in the background, sometimes the signs for that road that she has to go to,
Crossroads,
is misspelled.
It's Crossroads. Sometimes
they say Crossroad and sometimes they can say Crossload.
Oh.
And ours are not super easy. Ours and L's are not super easy to translate through Japanese, so it makes sense that that's the letter they fucked up. But I see you. Hi. That was one. And two, I would just like to say a huge call out to the people who animated the cats. We didn't really talk about how bipedal they are throughout the whole film.
But they maintained the, like...
That's what I'm saying. They maintain a very cat-like posture. They drop down on all fours sometimes. They do cat-like things.
When they sit like cats.
Yeah. They did a very good job humanizing something that shouldn't be humanized. And anytime they needed to, like if you watch Muta, especially, whenever he's, like, doing something funky, they just kind of don't define where each of his joints are in the art.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you look too closely at it, is a little confusing. But on a whole, just on a first watch through, it tricks your eyes into thinking that's a cat doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's physically impossible. A cat can't sprawl out on their back and scramble like a human to push up from, like... Like that. Like, when they're down on the back, they roll over and stand back up. So, it was really interesting the workaround they had to do. And I, honestly, piggybacking off of what we were talking about earlier, I think that's where they put all the dedication.
Yeah. Maybe.
In adapting the cats. Because you gotta think, that was a lot of cats.
Yeah, actually. Especially during the cat parade at night.
Yes.
The way the cat's spines moved when they walked felt so real to me. Like, if a cat were able to walk
They do. You can watch movies of them. Not movies, but you can watch videos of them. It looks like that. They're very unsteady.
Yeah, they're like...
Yeah, it's like watching a dog. It's not how they're supposed to walk.
No, it was actually pretty funny because we were watching it together. I told Jay, it has a very elf feel to it.
Elf?
Yeah, because it reminded me of that scene in Lord of the Rings when the elves are doing the parade of leaving.
Oh!
I went to the Christmas movie.
Okay.
Oh, God. I was very confused. I was like, where is she going with this?
Also, while I wasn't a huge fan of, like, how they handled the kingdom itself, before they head back into the kingdom, like, in the first portion of the movie, they do a really good job of, like, trying to set up, like, a culture for them. Mm-hmm. They have a writing system that's not human.
Yeah.
No.
They can read Japanese, which is fine. You made the cat be able to speak, fine.
Whatever.
But even in their parade, the fact that they have a parade with dedicated... security detail, dancers, light holders, flower holders,
musicians.
The fact that they have all of those things in place is just really neat. Yeah. And also the way that they blended together the feral cats with the
civilized cats,
quote unquote. It was just really interesting. You literally had these feral cats like ready to pick a fight with these royals, and these tuxedo cats just go hop 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 hop, chuck, get out of here,
fancy boys.
That was really cool.
It was awesome.
I think they were
the least cat looking ones until the very end, and it didn't matter at all.
I love those fancy boys.
They could have had fully developed hands with thumbs. I would have been like, look at those cats.
No, I
that's my favorite white boy.
What?
You haven't heard that meme?
We're in the same boat for the first time.
For the first time in forever. I don't like it over here.
No, okay.
And that's all I had.
No, I agree with you on that. That was very interesting. It was very fun to see that, especially because what they considered what would be appropriate gifts for someone for saving a royal's life, which if you think about it, switching it to a human sense, they're giving her food for days, which was the rats. Of course, she's...
They're food toys. You play with that food.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that's something they could be like meals for days. And, yeah. You know, the...
Here's some beautiful jewelry.
Cattails, which, you know, you would give someone beautiful flowers or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then you have the catnip, because to them, that's...
drugs.
Hey, hun, we hooked you up with some weed. Don't show your teachers. Don't get followed.
That honestly was my favorite part, though, because at first I thought you told me she got cat detail. And I was like, what?
In my defense, I thought that's what was happening. I forgot about the catnip entirely.
Yeah, I thought she had like this cat escort.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, at first, and I believed it. And then I saw that she was like, the rest of the feral cats were going. Another one joined,
and I went, oh, maybe it's not a detail.
I was like, oh. And then I saw that they were chasing her, and they're like, catnip. And I'm like, that's smart.
Anyway, that's... Anything else? All right. Read us off them sweet, sweet names and classes.
So we got King, who's a wizard. Toto, rogue. Prince Loon, fighter. Yuki, sorcerer. Muta, barbarian. Baron, ranger. And Haru is a ranger.
Rogue.
Rogue.
Yeah, I was about to say, I only conceded to one ranger here. Excuse the
My brain skipped a line. Or went back off a line.
It's fine.
All right. I was like, wait a minute.
Haru is a rogue.
Yeah.
Yes. Final thoughts.
If you will.
I enjoyed the film for being a Ghibli film. Mm-hmm. Definitely do recommend it, especially if you're one of those people that... Me in particularly, because currently Sam has my copies, but,
They're on my bookshelf, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's nice. And I keep meaning to... Like,
Don't worry, I'm buying new ones, so you...
No!
No,
absolutely not!
No, sorry. So I have copies of the entire collection of all the, Ghibli films. So... If you're one of those people that are very much into collectibles and stuff, watch the film because it is a fun film. I enjoyed it. And like Jay said, it was actually pretty fun to see the cats do the shit. Mm-hmm. Cats be cats. They had a scene with voices.
They had a scene where they did like circus acts and stuff. It was really fun.
So, yeah, I say go watch the movie.
Yeah, it was a fine movie. Definitely not my favorite I've seen from the studio. But if you're looking for a fun, whimsical time, definitely go watch it. Yeah, the cat animation is definitely fun to watch. It's a fun film. I do feel like I missed something by not seeing it at a younger age. But hey, show it to your younger cousins or nephews or children, and maybe they'll learn that lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, piggybacking off of that, this is the perfect intro to anime. Even though it's not technically an anime, it's the perfect intro to that world for a younger audience. It teaches you a strong lesson without shoving it down your throat. Mm-hmm. It's got cool ass cats. Mm-hmm. It's got, okay, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not going to be held accountable if your kid ends up a furry if you want and let them watch this. That's not on me.
There's so
that's
many.
That's on Miyazaki. Finish the name. Miyazaki.
or Disney.
But it's a really good watch. Even if you have kind of passed it, like past the prime of it like being an actual impactful thing for you. I think the movie itself is fun enough to warrant attention. Mm-hmm. They definitely try and give you a lot of lore in a little bit of time, which, like last week, Ghibli does. But they do it pretty well without dragging the tone of the movie down. It's a really interesting watch.
It also felt like it was something that was feasible. Mm-hmm. Like, your cat can secretly be talking to you and you don't know this shit.
It definitely didn't have... Like, Secret Life of Pets is very jarring in the way that they transition. These cats just go, oh, thank you for saving me. I'll be back with presents. And then walk up like a normal fucking cat with a box. It's like, you shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, I will say this. The way they transition from intelligent cat to feral cat is
smooth.
Nice. Smooth and nice and well done. And, like, even when they're feral cats or, like, not bipedal, you can still tell that there's a different element about that cat. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So,
three yeses.
Yay!
There we go. Alrighty, guys. Once again, thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you want more content or want to see some of the things we referenced in the show, or just want to say hi, please follow us at WSIWT Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, or at Why Should I Watch That on TikTok and Facebook. We've also got a YouTube channel where you can listen to episodes and also watch our live show. That is all. Hopefully, by the time you're hearing this, there are actually things on the YouTube that are new.
Oh,
wink.
Ooh. Spicy.
Wink. All right.
What are they giving you?
Cool. All right. Okay.
Are you all right?
No. With that being said.
We've had our snacks.
We've said our facts.
We've told you if you should that. Have a good night.
6 month is May, which your humble three nerds in trench coat have dubbed Miyazaki May. All features from this month will be either from Miyazaki or Studio Ghibli as a whole. Please listen carefully for a clip of the movie's soundtrack to try and guess which film.